I put extra denture cream in. That's what you call locked and loaded. How's that? All right. I'm not planning to do any spitting. How's that? All right. Woo! Glory to God. God is so good. All right. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We've got three sets of verses here. So let's look at those as we get started. All of you watching online, God bless you. And remember, Brother and Sister North, ministering in North Dallas this morning. I know it's good. We love the couple over there, that Brother Butch and his wife and their church. So I know they're having a good time over there. So Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's get started with that one. Behold, I give unto you power. Everybody say power. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And nothing, everybody say nothing,
nothing,
shall by any means hurt you. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Before Jesus goes back up into heaven, he's talking to his disciples. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right, one more set of scriptures, very familiar if you've been in Pentecostal circles very long. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We've got four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's not talking about the car, the one little accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Everybody say a sound.
Sound.
As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Title of my message this morning is The Power of the Holy Ghost. And yes, every believer needs the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me begin this morning with this statement. I'm convinced that the devil's greatest fear is this, that the church will get a revelation of the power that is available to us, and also that we will start acting like who God says we are.
Amen.
Something very powerful and specific happened on the day of Pentecost in that upper room. A sound from heaven, yes. But what really happened that day was that every head got aflame. Out of the 120 people that gathered in obedience to seek the Lord and wait for a promise or wait for the promise, not one was left out. Every head got its own flame. And so it follows today that every one of us, everyone who has come into that household of faith, should have their own flame. That is to say that every child of God should have their own personal experience with and connection to the Holy Ghost. Jesus knew that the early church was going to need more than pageantry and speeches if they were going to endure. He knew that they were going to have power from on high for what was ahead of them. Jesus also knew that the Holy Spirit was the supernatural equipment that they needed. He knew that everything necessary to defeat the devil and establish the kingdom of God would be furnished to them through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so it's my conviction today that has never changed. We must, as believers, all have power from on high. Now, when I was growing up in church, it seemed like every testimony had the fire in it somewhere, Sister Sunny.
That's right.
Every message had the fire in it somewhere. And now you look around in our churches, and speaking for myself, I wonder, is the fire anywhere? The favorite songs of the church was about the fire. You might remember, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Man, did we sing that. And as another one, it's just like fire, shut up in my bones. Sister Nora still sings that one. And it wasn't just words. About the third and the fourth time through, the song leader would go jerking. And her head would just jerk back. And it looked like somewhere she might just accidentally break her neck. And then all of a sudden, one of the ladies up on the platform would start shouting. And then it was holy pandemonium. Shoes came off. Hairpins went flying. Back then, they held their hair up with hairpins. And so the hairpins went flying. And then one of the brothers jumped up, Brother Tony, and started shaking like he was on fire. And somebody's grandpa then jumped up and took off running. And the closest person to the outside aisle, Brother Gary, joined grandpa's train. And today in many Pentecostal churches, many Pentecostal churches would say that that was just excessive emotion. Pastor, that's just excessive emotions. It's not necessary. Well, I will agree that there was a great deal of emotion in that. But listen, when you got a fire in your feet, how many know it's going to be hard to stand still? It may have been extremely emotional, but in the middle of all that dancing, in the middle of all that shouting, in the middle of all that running, guess what? People got saved. People got healed. People got delivered. And people got filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And many received their call to the ministry in those times. If you haven't noticed lately, hell is on the rampage.
Yes, it is.
Demons are going crazy, and spiritual warfare is on a level that we have never seen. And sadly, much of the church today is in a kind of stupor. I'm talking about the church world. You could almost say that they are hypnotized under some kind of spell. They stumble around like zombies with no direction, no purpose, Brandon, and no power. When on the other hand, guess what? The devil and the hordes of hell are very focused, and they are unified in their purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. It looks like the devil has been successful in keeping the world bound in fear these last 2.5 years through the use of a virus. And sadly, much of the church has fallen into that trap. There are many churches that have never opened their doors back up. And today I am thankful for every patriotic man and woman and their efforts to save America. But the fact is, guess what? The battle, Sister Faye, is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. It's supernatural. And it's going to take supernatural power to save this country, Brother Tony. We have now entered a time and a season where I believe everyone in the house, every believer needs a flame. Every person who occupies a pew needs the fire of the Holy Ghost operating in and through their lives. Understand with me that not one person was left out on the day of Pentecost. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, butcher and baker. Every person in that house got their own flame. They had a personal encounter with the fire of God. When the flame touched their heads, something happened down in their bellies. I don't know how that works, but it does. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sadly, the majority of the church world has not made the connection between Jesus' words and what happened in the upper room. Again, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost." Can you say that? After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they would receive power. The word power in the Greek here is dunamis. It means force, literally and figuratively. Specifically, it means miraculous power, meaning power for performing miracles. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples and the apostles knew exactly what had happened to them. They knew that when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, that miracle-working power had moved on the inside of them. And this is where I believe much of the church has missed something. We have failed to connect the dots. We think that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about speaking in tongues. So if we speak in tongues, we think, well, hallelujah, the mission's accomplished, we're good to go. Well, you got to understand, I speak in tongues. And let me say, part of our Pentecostal foundation is that we do believe that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. But Jesus did not say you will speak with other tongues when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He said you shall receive what? Power. In Luke 24:49, "But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Believe me, I believe in speaking in tongues, and I do it every day as my prayer language. But my concern is this, and I believe it's also the concern of the Holy Spirit. That is that many in Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles have made speaking in tongues a substitute for the power from on high. Yet this morning, I truly believe something is happening in the true remnant church, Brandon, and that there is an awakening taking place. And we are waking up to what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. And again, it's for every believer. This mighty baptism of fire is not just to comfort ourselves and convince ourselves that we're okay because we speak in tongues. No, this mighty baptism is what Jesus said it is. It is the baptism of power from on high. It is the power then to destroy the works of the devil. And believe me, he is at work in people's lives. It's also to heal the sick. It's also to be able to cast out devils and to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to make the deaf to hear and the cripples to walk, and yes, to still raise the dead, as the song says that we sang this morning. And if you want to, here are some more scriptures that you can write down to refer back to. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Here's another one, John 14:12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works," meaning more in number, "than these shall he do." because I go to my Father. Now, what does Jesus going to his Father have to do with us doing the works he did and greater? Here's the answer. He said that when he went to the Father, that he would send the Comforter back to us. That being the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. What is the definition of a ghost? It says it's the spirit of a departed one. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of the departed one, that being Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that when we received the Holy Ghost, His Spirit, that we would then have the same power in us that was working in Him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Watch this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. John 7 and 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And what happens when the rivers flow? The Bible says that everything the river touches shall live. In Matthew 3, we see where John, who the Bible said was a Baptist, and we're not going to hold him at fault for that. John said, I baptize you with water under repentance. John the Baptist, he baptized, meaning he immersed them in the water. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one coming after me who is mightier than I. When he is come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What John was saying is this. Yes, my baptism is important. You need to repent of your sins and be saved. But my baptism is not enough. There is another baptism that you need. And it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus said, the one who is mightier than I will baptize you with a mightier baptism. The baptism again of the Holy Ghost and fire. Watch this now. If you drink this water, say out of this bottle right here, guess what? It's inside of you. But when I go and I dive into a pool of water, guess what? I'm in the water. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit, what? Comes inside of you. Yet when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get immersed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful word picture there? I believe that I can say then without a doubt, with a great deal of certainty, that there is a lot of believers, sadly, who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, yet they do not really know the magnitude then of what they've even received. Some think, well, we've got some kind of a starter pack, Pastor. Like, it's not the full package, but at least we got enough to get started. It's, well, you see, Jesus, and you see Paul and Peter, they had the full package, Pastor. But we've just got the introductory package. But sometime down the road, if we pray enough, if we fast enough, if we do what Brandon says and pay our tithes, because that's what the Bible says, if we read the Bible enough, maybe God will give us the rest. Yes. Listen, here's the problem with that kind of thinking. It diminishes what we've already received, Sister Sonny. It's that kind of thinking that limits then and restricts and hinders the operation of the Holy Ghost that is in us. Let me give you another word picture. I could fill the trunk of your car with nitroglycerin. And guess what? You'd be loaded. You would have blasting power like nobody's business. But if I told you that all I did was to just throw a few firecrackers in your trunk, you would not think too much about it. You'd be driving around town with enough power to blow mountains into the ocean. But you would be acting like you had nothing but a couple of firecrackers, because you would be acting then on the basis of what you believed to be true. Well, that is what the Holy Ghost is saying today. When He came to live in you, He came in full strength. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire, you are packing. Does anybody know what that means? When you go and you are packing, that means you've got something right here in the natural, or down there in your sock. Some ladies might have it in the purse. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you are packing, and guess what? You are locked and loaded. And then watch this. There is supernatural, miracle working, mountain moving, devil busting power that is now on the inside of you. But so many believers are acting like we just got a couple of little firecrackers. It's like they're thinking, well, you know, it's not the power that I was hoping for, but at least I got some tongues, and at least I got something to get me started. Listen to me again. Very carefully, the devil loves for you to say that. In fact, he loves to hear that from you. And it's that kind of thinking, guess what, that he wants you to believe. Jesus said that you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that you will receive power. But the devil wants you to believe that you did not get any power, you just got some tongues. Well, the tongues, again, are the initial evidence that the power is there. Yes, you have to cultivate it, and you've got to stir it up, and you got to feed it, but it's there. And when John baptized into the water, they were baptized. Then he said, The mightier baptism is coming next, and it's a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You don't get the Holy Ghost and then get the fire 6 months later. It's the same baptism at the same time. And so the devil has been very effective of making us believe that all we got is a shaky hand and a quivering tongue. Because the devil knows that if we ever realize the power that is already in us, guess what? He's in trouble. He knows that the only power there is that can defeat him is the power of the Holy Ghost. So he's been telling us for centuries, well, now Jesus had the power, Paul had the power, yes, Peter had the power, but we have to earn the power over time. Listen to me again. The devil has known all the time that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power in you and you and you. The thought that you might make this discovery terrifies the devil, because he knows at the very moment you believe that the power is in you, you're going to start counting on it and drawing on it. You're going to draw on that power. 2:38. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice, we have this power. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit already, you have the power. And as a matter of fact, you have all the power that you can ever possibly receive, because there's no more. Yet understand with me, it's a lifestyle then of learning how to develop, how to depend upon it, how to draw on it, and how to cooperate with that power. The Pharisees, listen, they were a constant thorn in Jesus' side. He loved to ruffle their feathers. They had no real desire to know God or be obedient to His commands. They simply followed Him around and questioned Him about everything that He did. And one day they began to say this about Jesus, that He was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. But Jesus told them that the source of His power to do miracles and cast out devils was the Spirit of Almighty God. And so I bring that to your attention today to show you that the biggest hindrance and the offense to the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the power of God has always been and always will be dead religion. Religion, yes, can find a slot for many good things. Religion feeds the poor. Religion takes care of folks when there's a disaster and many other things like that. But guess what? Religion does not have a slot for someone operating in the power of God. Casting out devils, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. So they have to attack them. The point is this morning that if we want to walk in the same power then that Jesus walked in, we have to be prepared for the same treatment that Jesus endured. And I'll be very direct with you today and tell you that I believe the world, and specifically our America, is in the worst condition that it's ever been. And I don't say that to join the doomers, the gloom and doomers. I say that because now more than ever, it is indisputably clear that the only hope for us is a touch from Almighty God. And so that's why, like never before, the church must wake up to the reality of the power of the Holy Ghost that is available to the believer. We've got to quit looking and waiting for some great anointing from some evangelist to come in to fall upon us, for some great anointing to come. Instead, start tapping into the anointing that is already there. Here's some more scriptures. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children. We read some of these Wednesday night and have overcome them. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Again, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did you know that words can sting you like a scorpion? And it can, like a bite from a snake, that venom can get in you from words. But He says, I'm telling you, the power, you have power over that and power over the enemy. The devil's greatest fear is not a coming revival that will turn everything around and make everything all right. MAGA is not going to do it. I love our former president. I love him. But guess what? He's not the miracle worker. The devil's greatest fear is that the church right here, right now, will get a revelation of the power that they already have. Because as long as the devil then can keep us putting everything off to the future, well, it's going to be better come November 2022 and November 2024. then listen, he's going to continue to steal, he's going to continue to kill and destroy and make a mockery of the church. But I'm believing and I'm declaring today that the true blood-bought, fire-baptized remnant church is waking up and tapping into the power source that is already in them. We've got the power, and we're learning how to tap into that anointing and that power. I'm telling you, the anointing was here this morning, Brandon. There was some work already done in the house. Why? Because we welcomed the Holy Spirit in. In fact, we brought him here when he came, when we came in. Again, let's look at Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Did you notice he didn't say before? He said after. There are no shortcuts to the power of God. You must be filled with the Spirit. And you must not only be filled, guess what? You must keep being filled. Paul wrote these words in his letter to the saints at Ephesus. In Ephesians 5:18, he wrote, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Literally, it means to be filled and to keep being filled. When you what you experienced 15, 20 years ago, or even last year, or last week was good for then. But what matters is what is that Holy Spirit thermometer reading right now on the inside of you and me? How fresh is your oil? How long has it been since you had your checkup? Are you full of the Spirit or are you running on fumes? Again, be ye filled with the Spirit. It means to be full of the Spirit at all times, Brandon. And listen, when you're full of the Spirit, sometimes it's going to run over and it's going to slosh over on someone else. It's going to manifest it with joy and with laughter. It might run over while you're in church. It might run over down the aisles of Walmart. It might run over, Sister Judy, at the Dollar General. It might run over while you're driving down the road. Just be careful driving. And one of the ways that you keep yourself full is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Here's what the Bible says, found in Jude 20. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." That's your prayer language. Listen, the Spirit-filled life is one about being led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, guided, helped, comforted, corrected, convicted, and empowered. Did you notice there's no word called, there's no condemning by the Holy Spirit? The devil loves to condemn us. He gets us to do that wrong thing. "Oh, go ahead, it'll be okay." And then as soon as you do it, "Who do you think you are? He's an artist at that." But the Holy Spirit convicts us. And that's what I want the Holy Spirit to do, is convict me. One thing I pray every day, "Lord, you cleanse my heart. You convict me. If I get off on the wrong track today, you get me back on, because I don't want to carry anything into judgment. I want it dealt with today, because when I stand before Him and He judges me, I want Him to say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" That's why we need to deal with it every day, every evening. "Lord, you see what I said today. Lord, you see how I felt today. You see what happened with me today. I need you to cleanse my heart. I want to go to sleep tonight with a pure heart. I don't want anything, no guilt. I don't want any anger against anybody, no hatred against anybody. I want it dealt with. And I thank you, God, that as I give it to you, and I thank you that you're going to deal with that situation." And guess what? If it's on their end, He's going to deal with them either sooner or later when they stand before God. And if it's with you, guess what? He'll show you if you'll ask, Lord, is it me? What do I need to change in me? Oh, and He'll do it. He knows just how to do it. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the wine is such a fitting illustration in the Spirit. As wine exercises a controlling influence over a person's life, when we're filled with the Spirit, our entire lives will be under His influence. Would you just look at your neighbor and say, I just want to warn you. I'm under the influence. All right, you got to help me now. So you tell them this. You better watch out. I might shout any minute. I might dance. And I might just run, Brother Charlie. I might start laughing and or crying, one or the other. All right. It may be here at this altar this morning. It may be on your way home. It may be laying on your bed tonight. Or in that easy chair this afternoon. Or maybe on your job tomorrow. Can't you see Bob using that press machine? He's pressing that lever. Whatever you do, Brother Bob. And he starts laughing. Oh my gosh. And everybody's looking at Brother Bob. What are you laughing at? You just got to work the machine. That's all you got to do. And he's laughing uncontrollably. And they don't have a clue what's going on. But on the inside of Brother Bob, that Holy Ghost is just bubbling up. He can't take it. And for some reason, that machine starts going faster and faster. Woo! You can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues anywhere and anytime. All you have to do is ask and receive. Y'all stay with me. It's 10 after 12.
We're here. We have nowhere to go.
Don't worry about your crock pot. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Listen, that represented salvation. And then he said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, representing the Holy Spirit. And I know that we are in an advanced age. And I know the technology has made tremendous strides. And we have access to information on a scale that our forefathers could only have dreamed about. And we can go to the internet or on the radio or television or the iPad, and we can access tremendous truths in a moment of time. And I know that Grandpa and Grandma did not have a lot of the advantages that we have today. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? But listen, many of our grandmas and our grandpas could teach the church a few lessons. Many of those that were saved knew the power of the blood of Jesus. They knew how to pray. They did not have access to the medicines and the emergency room like we have today. They'd be out on the backside of a cotton field somewhere, and someone would get deathly ill. They would pray then until they prayed through, and heaven invaded earth, and victory came. They knew that you needed the Holy Ghost. And those old timers believed that if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. They said without the Holy Ghost, you were not getting off the launching pad when Jesus came. They knew the Holy Ghost was the power to conquer sin and live a holy life. Those old timers, listen now, they would get you to the altar. And once they got you to the altar, it was get filled with the Holy Ghost or die trying. I remember those days. Brother Charlie remembers those days. One was pushing, and the other one on the other side was pulling. One said, "Thank you, Jesus." Another one said, "Praise the Lord." Then one said, "Hold on," and the other one said, "Turn loose." And it might have been a little confusing, but somewhere, watch this, somewhere in the middle of all of that, God saw, Sister Sonny, the purity of the hearts and the hunger and the zeal to get everything that was promised to them. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started stirring in their belly, and a river came rushing through them, and they started speaking in a tongue that they had never learned, and it changed their lives forever. And it gave them boldness then to be a witness and to live for God. I'm not just talking about something my grandma told me about. I'm not talking about secondhand information of something that happened to somebody else somewhere, sometime. I got it the same way. I got that same old-fashioned baptism at a very early age. I had laid on my face. I laid on my back. I stood. I laughed. I cried. I said, "Thank you, Jesus," till I thought my tongue was going to fall off. And somewhere along the way, God saw my heart and knew that I was serious. And all of a sudden, at the end of a Sunday evening service, it was like a strike of lightning had hit me in the top of my head, and it went through my body and shot out my fingertips, and I started speaking in other tongues by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. And my life has never been the same. My life has never been the same. Have I messed up? Oh, you better believe it. But I serve a mighty God. I serve a good God. I serve a merciful God who says I can come to Him every morning because His mercies are new and they're fresh every morning. I came to tell somebody this morning, you need the Holy Ghost. If you plan on going to heaven, if you have repented of your sin and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, then yes, the blood of Jesus has qualified you to get in. You are saved. But if you plan on getting up tomorrow morning and facing life, how many know we have to face life on a Monday morning? If you plan on getting up in the morning and facing life and dealing with a real devil, then I'm here to tell you today, you need the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Hallelujah. We're going to worship again. We're going to worship again today. Let's all stand together. I'd like for our musicians to come. Hallelujah. We're going to take just a little while. If you have to go, I understand, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, since you believe, then if you desire it, listen, you can have it. All you need to do this morning is lift up your hands. We're going to gather down front here in just a minute. All you need to do is lift up your hands and ask God to fill you. And listen, the Holy Spirit will touch you and you'll begin to feel something bubbling up and you're going to feel like you need to say some words and you don't know what they are. But I just encourage you, the Lord's going to use your tongue and you're just going to, as you're worshiping, you're going to just feel that unction and you just speak those words out. You won't have a clue what they are. But I'm telling you, that's when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and He'll take control of your tongue. And He will touch you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you have received the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since you've really felt Him moving in you, and you haven't been experiencing the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Maybe you did it one time, but you haven't used your prayer language in a long time. Let God loosen that in you today. You can this morning as you lift up your hands and you tell Him that you want a fresh baptism. Hallelujah. Let's all, would you just gather down front here, all across the front. I promise you, we're not going to get beside you and push you on one side and pull you on the other. We're going to let the Holy Spirit of Almighty God touch you because He knows your heart. He knows how serious you really are and how much you want Him to touch your heart and your life. Come on, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Listen, He'll change you. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the power. Why don't you face me? Everybody, face me. Come on down, y'all. Let's all gather together as a body. Come on down. If you have to sit on the front row, that's okay. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that does the work. Hallelujah.